Hi, this is Daniel Thomas May. You are listening to the Walking Dead Girl podcast.
Hello, everybody. This is Jasmine.
And this is Michael.
And I'm the Walking Dead Girl. In this podcast, we review and discuss the hit TV show The Walking Dead from AMC. In addition to reviewing the TV episodes right after they air, we sometimes have interviews with special guests. This episode is number 34.
If you want to give us feedback on the show, you can send email to talkback@thewalkingdeadgirl.com, or you can leave a comment on our website, thewalkingdeadgirl.com. At episode 34, we routinely read feedback and comments on the show.
Currently, we're reviewing season 3, episode 14, and it's called Prey. Before we get started, I want to remind you guys that we will be discussing every gory detail about the TV show, so obviously there will be spoilers. So make sure you've watched the current episode before listening.
And at the top of the show, we had our intro from Daniel Thomas May, who plays Alan, and he's has a significant role in this episode.
Or what you think is a significant role.
Well, he does. He shows up quite a bit more than in the past. That's why we played him at the beginning. So this episode is called Prey. Why is it called Prey?
Well, we believe that Prey refers to the fact that in this episode, there's a predator and there's a prey. Andrea, in this case, is the prey, and the governor is the predator because he's been chasing her this whole episode. And everybody's making decisions, and they have consequences, and they have to face it. Such is life.
So, I guess this episode will—it shows a little bit about this is a kind of Andrea story, right?
Yeah, and knowing what I know now, knowing what happens after at the end of season 3, I don't like watching it back because I know what's gonna happen. And then they trick me and they make me believe in again and I feel sad and depressed and they take my hope away.
Yeah, and because you said, oh, I don't like watching these episodes. I'm like, why doesn't she like watching them? That was kind of weird.
I didn't, and I said they were bad, but I didn't mean bad as in they were poorly written or poorly produced. I meant bad as in they make me feel bad because they're so good, you know? Such as The Walking Dead way, no one is safe.
Yeah, no one is safe. And let's get into the episode, which starts off
with a flashback. And at first I was kind of confused because we haven't watched the season lately. And I was like, wait, what? I'm confused. But then I realized, oh yeah, it's a flashback of Michonne and Andrea sitting together during the wintertime. This is back when they first met each other and the pets were still alive. Michonne's pets.
What pets?
The zombies or the walkers.
On the chains.
Yeah, without any arms or jaws. And they're sitting around a campfire and they're eating. And Andrea asked the tentative question asked very tentatively, like, who are these walkers to you? Like, were they your friends or did you just find them like this? And I was like hanging on the edge of my seat because I don't remember the story about those. And I don't know if she answered it. And she still didn't answer it. She just said that they deserve what they got and they weren't human to begin with. So I'm still curious about who these people are to Michonne, but now we'll never know because the pets are dead.
Well, yeah, in season 3, one of the episodes, I can't remember which, but Michonne killed them. Can't remember why.
It wasn't earlier. Earlier in season 3.
Yeah, because they were making noise or something, and she was being chased by Merle.
Didn't care for them at all. Like, she wasn't, you know, too hesitant about killing them, too.
Yeah. And so Andrea was saying, you know, if you knew them.
Yeah.
So do you think she knew them? Okay, so one thing.
Yeah, she said they deserve what they got. They weren't human to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So they're saying that she knew them in their human life and that they weren't good people.
So there's a lot of mystery behind Michonne, and there's several things. So far, this podcast episode is actually going back to season 3, but we've already seen half of season 4 when we're recording this.
Yeah, yeah.
So we've seen a lot of stuff from Michonne, a little bit of her history, but not a lot.
No. We know more.
But not a lot.
Yeah.
And the most mysterious character in the whole show is Michonne. Because, I mean, nobody talks about, we don't know their backstory.
I think the most mysterious characters are the Woodbury people.
Why?
that come to prison.
Oh, that come to the prison. We don't know anything about them.
Because we don't know anything about them. And they die left and right. We're like, wait, who was that person? Were we supposed to know who they were?
No, the problem with Michonne is that we see her go into certain situations. And she, like, when someone says something about the mysterious, but they don't elaborate,
it leaves you hanging almost. Yeah, like, you, like, have to make
it's
inferences.
Better, like, not say anything.
Yeah, because we know all the characters, they have a backstory. Their backstories explain, like,
a little
bit,
most of them.
Yeah, most of them. We know where Herschel started. We know where Merle started and his relationship with Daryl. Mm-hmm. You know, we know who Rick is. We knew who Lori was.
Yeah.
And we knew everybody because it's like we feel like we kind of grown with them. But then Michonne comes in the middle of the season. And then we're like, who is this person?
Well, because she has because she's so quiet, she has an interesting story. And
yeah, because she doesn't talk often.
You just want to know what's going on.
You want to know why she's the way she is.
Yeah, so she leads on to say that they deserve what they got, that she knows them, but it's never explained.
Exactly.
And for those that are wondering, we've seen half of season 4 and it's still not explained.
Yeah, so don't expect anything.
So I'm wondering if they're going to explain it in the next half of season 4, but
I'm hoping they will because, oh, never mind, I'm going to say anything.
Jeez, I mean, you know, it. Like they should give us more info on Michonne.
That's or you can just spoil it for yourself and go in the comics and maybe you'll find more. I don't know.
Yeah, but actually, the comics don't actually match the TV show.
Actually, I've picked up the Atlas for all the characters for The Walking Dead, mm-hmm. the comic. Remember, I got it from the comic book store?
Oh, yeah.
Explains all the characters that were ever on The Walking Dead comic book series.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't read it because I didn't want to spoil it for myself because it kind of spoils some. It spoils their deaths and stuff. Maybe Michonne might be in there.
She might. You might take a look at that.
We'll get back to you.
And
the
camera shows the chains that the walkers on, which by the way is annoying because
it's so loud.
Can you imagine like being at the campfire and
then trying to sleep with that stuff?
The chains rattling, that'd be pretty annoying.
I would sleep with some earplugs, man.
Yeah.
But then yeah.
And it fades from the chains and the walkers, which is really cool, to the chains in the hands of the governor.
What the heck?
What is he doing?
I don't know what he's doing because those holes.
He's working out. He's doing Pilates.
I don't know what he's doing, but it looks like he's setting up his torture room. Like he has two chains on two different poles and like he's holding them and he's in the center of the two. But then I'm like, wait, is he supposed to chain that around the prisoner's hand? But the holes are too big. It's like, it looks like it's like a necklace size you can put over your head. You can't, your hand can easily come out of that. Like how is that
supposed
to?
Maybe it's someone's thigh.
What the heck?
Hung upside down. I don't know.
It doesn't make any sense because he was holding it like with his hands.
Yeah. It didn't make any sense. The loops were too big they weren't like, it's not like there were handcuffs or anything.
Unless he was going to put walker heads through those loops and have the person stand in the middle and have the walkers eat at them.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
It'd be like a walker trap or something. That'd be funny. But he's kind of showing that...
Like you'll have the walkers far enough just so they can eat your arms and keep you in prison there. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Just nibble on your toes.
Yeah, like a torture. Oh my God, fingers. I gotta stop thinking about that. Ugh, sense shivers. And then we have the credits. And then after the credits, we have the Woodbury Militia loading up the 50 caliber gun on top of the truck, supplies.
What do you know about a 50 caliber?
Dude, I know stuff. I have a brother who plays Call of Duty in Battlefield all the time.
So you know what 50 cal is?
I have to know. And Andrea's angry because she comes rolling around and she's like, well, she's not rolling around, but she rolls
rolling
up.
Around in a barrel.
She's like, what?
Barrel full of Andrea.
Well, Andrea is angry because she thought that this was like a peaceful deal because she's under
Andrea's
the impression.
Still out of it.
Yeah, she's under the impression that everyone's all honky-dory and that, yeah, we're just going to make a deal and everything's going to be fine. But little does she know.
Yeah, I thought we had a deal on the table. The deal was on the table, wasn't it?
There was a deal on the table.
There was a table and there was a deal on it. And Milton says, this is just a precaution. Don't worry about
it. But he asked Martinez, how many people are you taking with you? And they said, everybody.
So Milton lied to Andrea, too.
Yeah. And...
So Andrea's still in naive mode.
And then the governor, and then we have a cut to the governor who is sweating low. Do you notice that when he was like unloading his torture equipment?
He was?
Yeah, right before where Milton saw him
mm-hmm.
and talked to him. Yeah, he was unloading his torture, like a knife, a sword, kind of, not a sword, but like a
saw.
A saw. And then he took out this little thin little kind of pick kind of looking thing to pick at people's eyeballs or something.
It was a dental equipment.
Yeah, it was gross. It looked scary.
It was the same kind of instruments that a dentist has at the table.
I know, but when in the governor's hands. No one uses a saw at a dentist. Come on.
No, not the saw, but the scraping thing.
I don't even like the dentist scraping my teeth with that thing. Sometimes they miss and they hit my gum and then it starts bleeding and they're like, I'm sorry. I'm like, no, you're not. You enjoy this.
I'm sure they do.
And they talk to me and I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
don't you hate when they ask you?
Why do they do that?
They ask you questions when you're in the middle of having your mouth full of it. Yeah. They put this tube in your mouth.
Yeah, so to suck out the saliva. So like, so how was school? Oh yeah, it's great. Then I didn't know. But like, like, oh yeah, really? What was that? I was just saying, you know, like, and the conversations are, there's like awkward pauses. Like, are you having fun at school? And then I just have to be like, nod in my head. And then she asks a question that I have to say more than just a yes or no. Okay. Back to the story. Yeah, so the governor was sweating. I don't know why he was sweating. Was he turned on by that stuff?
Probably.
I don't know.
He was getting excited. All those instruments he was going to use on who, though?
Michonne.
Oh, he was preparing it for
probably.
Michonne.
Probably. And then Milton walks in. He kind of looks at him. And then
walks slyly away.
Like, no, not really. Because once the governor turned, he just immediately turned and walked away. Like,
and he says, how does that help Woodbury?
Yeah, his question was, how does any of this help Woodbury going after them, you know, setting up this torture room? And he said he basically says he wants to get his revenge.
Mm-hmm.
He basically says he wants Michonne to pay. But then Milton brings up a good point. He said, well, Penny's dead and she was already dead. Tentatively, he says this.
Well,
but he's like, it doesn't matter anymore. Like, you have to move on.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not moving on. That's the problem.
But the governor says something which is very telling. He says, that's all that matters. So he's kind of obsessed with this revenge about Penny's death.
And And Milton says that he should be focusing on Woodbury. Like, you got everything you do, all the decisions you make should be for the greater good of Woodbury, not your own personal
vendetta
afflictions. Yeah. That's what makes a real leader, you know, thinking of people and putting them first before yourself.
Yeah, but he's not a real leader. He's a psychotic.
That's the problem.
Psychopath. He's not thinking normally. Well, because the governor said to Milton, said, do you really believe that there's still something left in the person's brain when they die? I mean, when they become a walker? And Milton says, yes.
Idiot.
So there you go.
There's no one there. It's just nothing.
Well,
death.
So that's what the governor was, his point was, well, if you believe that, then actually Penny actually was killed. Because she wasn't really killed when she was a walker. She was killed. She was killed when Michonne killed her.
Eye roll here. I'm eye rolling.
Okay. Well, that's the governor's.
that's what the governor thinks.
That's the governor's logic.
Maybe the governor doesn't really believe that. Maybe he does. Do you think he knows that Penny is really dead? And he knows that he's just being obsessive? Or do you think he actually believed that Penny was alive?
You know, I think he's, through this whole episode, well, a lot of the episodes previous, but the governor is good at telling stories
and getting people like you know.
So, and I'm wondering to the point where he's told so many lies and so many stories that he himself doesn't even know what he's believing anymore. Like, he's believing his own lies. I think.
How does that even happen, man? You got to write down your truths just so you can keep it in track. You know what I'm saying?
But the David Morrissey, right? That's his name.
Yeah.
He played in season 3. He played the governor really well.
Yeah. After the encounter with
Milton
realizes that the governor has no plan to really have a deal and that he really just wants Michonne and he's going to destroy everybody at the prison. So then he goes on a little secret alleyway with Andrea and basically tells her that there is no plan. There is no agreement. He just wants Michonne. Mm-hmm. And then Andrea's like, that's stupid because Rick will never give up Michonne. He's not that kind of person.
And I think this is the turning point for Andrea.
Yeah.
Right now.
Because she thought there was hope.
That meeting with Milton where Milton says, you know what? It's all a lie. There's no deal. Blah, blah, blah. She's like, okay.
You've been lied to.
I think at this point, something just turned in her and she became, she finally realized what she has to do.
Yeah.
which a lot of people would say it's about time.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
It's been a while.
That Andrea was in this kind of
She should have cloud. Had the wake-up call when she discovered the tanks of heads and Michonne, you know, gouged out his eyeball and all that. That during that time was when she should have realized that the governor is not who he says he is. Just so silly.
Yeah, I don't know how you can be in the forest with somebody like for months and months and build a relationship and then not really trust them.
Yeah. And I would trust her with my life.
Like, I would trust Michonne's opinion more than anyone's.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that's me.
I don't understand why. It's like she was she's kind of selfish. She enjoyed having showers and somewhere to sleep and being comfortable than sticking with a friend.
I think it was love.
You honestly think she's in love with the governor?
She was.
How could you be in love with a psychopath?
She didn't know he was.
But then after all that's happened, she's still in love with him until this very moment when she realizes he's evil. Because then Milton takes her to the torture room and she's like, I'm going to kill him. I have to kill him. That's when she realizes she doesn't love him anymore. Like where she wants to kill him. It goes from love to killing. So then Milton takes her to the torture room and we...
Then they're looking down.
They're looking down and the governor appears and then they're like, oh my God. Because they realize if the governor just has to look up for them to see them.
Yeah.
Because they're in a kind of like a window kind of thing that's partly covered, but it's not really.
And the governor does this weird thing, which I asked you about that. Can you explain that?
He whistles by himself.
Yeah, but into a little recorder.
He whistles in a recorder. And I'm thinking in the mind of a psychopath. If you are looking for revenge for so long on some one person, just having that moment isn't going to be enough. You want to save that moment. So what I think he's going to do is he's going to save Michonne's screams and cries of pain and all that disgusting stuff onto the recorder. So he can play it back whenever he wants. Wow. Just like I saved that Rick's, you know, Andrew Lincoln's voice recording from, you know, Walker Stalker Con, like that. You know what I'm saying? So you can play it whenever you want when it makes you feel better.
So that's an interesting angle. I never thought about that. So that's why he has that little recorder.
So I think so, yeah.
Record the screams of pain.
Because
so I'm like, why is he recording himself whistling? That's weird.
Yeah, but when I first saw this episode and the governor walked in while Andrea and Milton were in that vent thing, I'm like, oh my God. Because they were like, oh my God.
So let's play a clip from this scene.
After it. Andrea was going to shoot the governor right then and there through the vent, but then Milton stopped her.
Why would Milton stop her?
We'll find out now. He explains it in the audio
Milton's
clip.
Milton's a moron. That's why.
He's naive.
How can you still protect him? He doesn't give a shit about you.
I knew Philip before he became the governor. That man still exists.
I don't believe that.
Okay, so you kill the governor. Then you get shot. Then Martinez takes over. What then? Killing the governor doesn't save your friends.
Then I have to go back. Warn them. Yeah. And you're coming with me.
I can't leave Woodbury.
You really want to be a part of this?
I don't know anyone at the prison.
So what? You know Merle, he fit in. He'll be fine.
Like it or not, I belong here.
Then if you stay, you can't keep looking the other way. Take care of yourself.
So while that was short and sweet and basically got the point across that Milton is naive and still believes that there's something human inside of the governor.
Yeah. And we were like, basically, I think killing the governor solves the problem, right?
Yeah, it does, because I don't know. Milton says that, okay, just because you killed the governor is not going to change anything, but it will, because then he won't be on this like mission to destroy the prisoners. Martinez will probably most likely not really go after them.
Yeah, Martinez doesn't care.
He doesn't care.
he's just doing the governor's orders, like, okay, let's do this, let's do that, whatever you want.
Because honestly, Martinez will just be like, okay, well, if the governor was gone, then he would just be like, okay, just reinforce the sides, go out for some supplies, defend our stuff, and that's it. He won't go on some missions to overtake places.
Yeah, no, he
won't. He's not power hungry like the governor is, or stuck on revenge.
Yep.
So Milton was wrong on that front.
Big time.
And again, he still doesn't want to go. And then Andrew realizes she has to leave. If I can't kill him, I have to get out of here and warn the others, because I realize that the people at the prison are my real family. And she asks Milton to come with her, but he says no, because, which is kind of true. He's not made for that. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not made for prison life kind of thing. He's used to his little lab underground, you know, making experiments, living comfortably. I don't think he would survive out there.
Yeah, I don't think so. He needs to be in a little town like Woodbury.
Or he'll be dead. Technically, he's supposed to be dead.
Yeah, if he didn't have Woodbury, he would be dead. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, he's just living on borrowed time right now.
Milton's a wimp.
He's like the captain of the ship. He has to go down with it, you know.
Well, he's not the captain.
Well, but I mean, he's like one of the engines of the ship. I don't know.
He's
like,
part of the ship.
He's part of the ship. He's the
cushiony pillows.
No, he's the couches engine. He's the engine workers, and like, you know how the engine workers always die. Even. Like in Titanic, they always get flooded out first in the bottom, because they're the bottom of the ship. When everything goes bad, yeah, they die first.
But he's not like an mechanic though. He's more like a butler or
like
something.
A butler, but even a butler would want to leave. It's just a job.
Yeah. And then we have a scene with Martinez and Andrea with the gun thing.
Oh, yeah. As our Andrea tries to make a fast walk pace toward the fence, Martinez calls for her guns and says, oh, we have to have all the weapons. And she gives him their weapon. And then the governor rolls up in his trench coat. You notice how he's wearing a trench coat now? A long black trench coat with the collar popped up.
Yeah, he's like, sorry about that. I should have told you.
Character progression. Yeah, he said, you're special. I wanted to keep you away from all this stuff. Like, don't do that. Andrea's a big girl, okay? This is 20 freaking 14 now.
Yeah, and Andrea's saying, yeah, I just wanted to help. But this time, we know she was lying.
Yeah, she's a pretty good actor, if you ask me.
she is an actor.
Yeah, isn't that funny? Ironic.
She's an actor acting like she wants to help.
Yeah, and then she makes it past the governor and goes to the far gate, not the one of the main gates, one of the back gates, and says to Tyrese and Sasha, hey, we need some help over the other fence. I'll take over here. And then they don't buy the story. So then she just decides to go over it anyway, and then pulls out a knife at Tyrese and Sasha and says, let me go through, like a crazy woman. And then they freak out. But being the good people that they are, they don't shoot her. They just let her go.
Well, Tyrese couldn't shoot her if he wanted to.
Yeah, because he's a terrible aim.
He's a terrible aim, and also he's a nice guy.
He's a teddy bear. You know what I mean? And she warns them, saying, you know, the governor isn't who he says he is.
So they're confused now.
Yeah, they're confused.
It's like, why is this woman trying to leave? And
why would she want it? She would kill somebody to leave, basically. She pulled out a knife saying, if you don't let me go, I'll stab you. I'll shank you.
Yeah. And so they're kind of thinking now, well, they're evaluating the situation, like, what's going on
so
here?
Why would she want to leave so bad, and why is she saying these things? There must be truth to it.
Yeah,
so they let her go, and then they go, like the good people that they are, they go to the governor and let them know that Andrea is gone. And then he says to them saying, oh well, she's a little crazy.
A little, yeah.
Yeah, she's lost her sanity. She was out in the wild by herself for all these months in the winter.
Lies.
All she had was the biters. And I'm like, if that was all true, why are you still dating her? Come on.
If she's crazy.
Exactly.
Well, he's not dating her now, but he wants to, you know, do something to get her.
And then he asked her, Sasha and Tyrese, is there anything in particular that they Andrea said? They decide not to say that, she says that you are not who you say you are, and just says no. She just looks shaken up. Why do you think they did that? They lied to him and say that she didn't say anything to them about why she was leaving.
Because they're smart. They don't want the governor to, because maybe they believed Andrea a little bit.
Yeah.
And they were kind of protecting themselves.
And even if they didn't, they don't want to let the governor know, give the governor a chance to think that their loyalties may be in question.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, trying to help them out.
Yeah. So is that the scene where they were all four of them in one room with Alan and all of them? Is that the scene? Yeah, that's the scene, right?
No.
That was a different scene?
No, that was a different scene. It was just Martinez, him, Tyrese, and Sasha.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because
then the governor's like, okay, you're going to go help Martinez. He needs some help. Because Tyrese is asking, I hope this doesn't affect our position here.
Hmm.
And so the governor decides to go after Andrea. And this is where the title Prey comes into play, because now she's running for her life. I'm wondering, how far is the prison from the place? Because she just ran there.
Well, it took her a whole day, almost half a day, because it took her a long time, a day almost, because it was nighttime and then day when she got there. Remember?
But if you were driving, it would take like, 30 minutes?
I don't know. In the Walking Dead world, everything is within a short distance. Have you noticed that?
Yeah. I was just thinking, like, I think about the apocalypse and how, you know, most likely you'll probably be walking everywhere. That how did the people back in early America travel west? How did they do that?
Horses.
I know, but
the
still.
Power of the power of the horse.
But still, they were carrying carriages, so it was technically slower than an average car.
It wasn't technically. It was practically slower.
So it took months and months of traveling. People died on that.
Yep.
On that journey.
You don't just go vacationing to Florida back then.
Yeah.
You go,
just going into town was a treacherous kind of thing. You know, you're attacked by bandits. You know, your carriage breaks down. You run
well,
out of water
in this Walking
die.
Dead in the series... First off, we have Woodbury, we have the prison,
Atlanta, the farm,
the farm, the prison, Woodbury, and what was in season 4? We had something new. Oh yeah, we had like the other camp of people. Not gonna reveal it, but there's other bunch of other people. They were all so close. Like everything is so close.
And Georgia's a huge place.
Yeah, but
it's like a huge place.
But
it's a lot of forest. Like how do they know where they're going in the forest? Do they have
maps?
But people still know how to use maps. Like the average person knows how to use a map.
Okay, now you're just talking crazy.
No, I'm just saying, how do you know that everybody knew how to use a map?
Everybody doesn't know how to use a map, obviously, because, you know, some people don't know how to use maps, but apparently these people do.
Mm-hmm. And they always have gas.
Oh, yeah, that's a crazy one.
And they always have food. I mean, there's a little bit about rations, but they seem to have... It seems like bandits...
I find
it seems
gas...
like looters haven't raided out the stores because they keep going back and there's still stuff.
The gas is the one that I find hard to believe is because all the electricity is gone, right? There's no electricity, so all the pumps don't work from the gas stations. So they would have to go to cars.
And siphon them out. But it's been like 2 years.
Yeah. So there's got a lot of cars. Or the gas stations actually have tanks underground.
Mm-hmm.
So they could potentially open up the valve. Remember that time when we were at a gas station, I was showing you, there's the covers.
Yeah.
For the gas. So they can open the covers and siphon the gas out of there. Well, that would be hard to siphon out of something that's in the ground. So I'm wondering, like, where's the gas coming from? I have no idea. They're driving these big trucks, too.
Which takes poor gas mileage. Like,
yes. At some point, we have to kind of...
If it was me, I would just take a compact car.
Like a Hyundai?
Yeah, like our car. Because it has space and it's fuel efficient.
And plus, it's a sponsor of the show. How convenient. The governor confronts Milton.
Yeah, because Milton says, just let her go. Does he say that, let her go?
Something like
let
that.
Let her go to her people?
Yeah.
And then the governor's like, well, you talked to her, huh? How do you know this? And Milton can't lie. And then he says, you told her about Michonne, too. Oh, you told her, did you? Because he didn't even answer, but he could tell.
That's why, that's why one thing I find weird about these shows is they always have scenes like that. I can't explain them. Like in real life, that would never happen.
You would never be able to tell?
I can't tell.
But they know each other so well, they know when each other is lying, I think.
And just like in the first scene, at the opening scene, where Andrea's like, oh, who are these people? Did you know them? She, no, Michonne doesn't say, oh, you did know them, didn't you? Like well, Michonne didn't say anything. How do you know?
Because of her facial expressions. She had no expression. She started sniffling. It looked like she was going to cry.
No.
It's called reading body language, Dad.
And then the governor pushes Milton to the wall and says, did you tell her? You did tell her, didn't you? Like, okay, I didn't say anything. Why couldn't Milton just say, no, I didn't tell her. No, what are you talking about?
Because if he said anything, it would be even worse. It's like, if you can't lie, don't say anything at all. But then it's worse.
Not even deny it?
No, because you're like, no, I didn't tell her. No. Like, you know that voice you get where you're like, no, I didn't tell her. No,
you don't say that.
I don't know.
I would say, no, what are you talking about? I have no idea what you're talking about. I didn't tell her anything.
Like, why would I tell her stuff? God, Philip, I thought you trusted me.
Yeah.
Philip? Come on, Philip. I'm sorry. I can't stand that name, Philip. It doesn't fit him at all. Philip sounds like a knight. Philip Phillips, like from the guy from American Idol. That's Philip fits with his name. Fits him. Philip for this guy? No. I just see the governor. That's all he'll ever be.
Yeah. I just find those scenes where people just ask a question and they look at someone's eyeballs and then say, oh, yep, I know the answer. It's positive.
Like they can read your mind.
Like, I don't know how that's possible. I can't do that in real life.
And then we go to a scene where Andrea's running on the streets and she hears the car because the governor's after her. And then she hides in the forest. And I'm like, hide in the forest! And then, or die in the forest, because as soon as the car passed, the walkers were on Andrea. And like, she's probably thinking, hide in the forest, she said. It'll be fine, she said.
Who said that?
That's just a joke. Like, I said to hide in the forest, and then now she's attacked in the forest. And now Andrea's saying,
well, when that scene says, why you hear a car coming, why don't you go to the forest? And then we paused it and I had to go get something and I came back and then we unpaused it and you see her running into the forest. So there you go. She answered your question. You're wondering, there you go.
Yeah. But then I forgot that, oh yeah, this is The Walking Dead and there's walkers in the forest and she gets attacked. I don't know how she would have. That's what I like about the show. I like how the women characters are just as strong as the men characters, both mentally and physically, except for Lori. Lori couldn't do anything. Well, not true. When Lori crashed the car, she got out.
She got out, but still, she wasn't that. She's not as good as Andrea.
Yeah, I mean, I like how they have a strong female character in there who's not all wishy-washy. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's smart.
Well, first of all, I think it's just a matter of time for the wimpy people. They're going to die eventually. So you have to be strong.
So then I guess
it'll be just a nation full of strong people.
We'll just have super people.
Or people who know how to kill walkers.
It'll be like they'll breed out the weaklings.
Mm-hmm.
Hitler will finally get what he wants.
Oh, I'm going to edit that part out. No talk about Hitler in this show.
Got a lot of editing to do, Dad.
Okay, so Andrea was attacked by walkers. She got away. Then we have a scene
where they're at the screamer pits.
Yay, the screamer pits.
So Ty and Sasha are doing what Martinez needed help with, and they needed to round up some walkers for what they say is to intimidate the people, the prisoners.
They didn't say anything at that time.
Yeah, but Tyrese and Sasha were not agreeing with this whole thing. Like, I'm not going to, they have women and children at the prison. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, they put two and two together and realized what was going on.
Yeah, and then they said, I'm not going to do it. And then Martinez is like, I don't care. Okay, just go back then. And then Alan goes up and says, you're not going to ruin this for us, okay? You're going to do what he says because we have to. We want to get in good with them. And then what put Tyrese on edge? Like, what set him off?
Donna was killed. Okay, so talk a little bit about the backstory. Because when Tyrese and Sasha and Alan and all these guys showed up, they had this woman called Donna. Her name was Donna, right?
Which is the wife of Alan that we have confirmed.
Yes.
And Ben is the son that we've confirmed.
Yeah. And by the way, Alan looks too young to have a son that old.
I think he's like 16. He's just probably big for his size.
Yeah. But anyway.
Hey, look how young you look, Dad.
Yeah, that's true. I am a young stud. No gray hair. I love it.
I love it.
And I'm loving it. Let's get back to the thing. So.
Yeah, they showed up with Donna. Donna was bitten. And Tyrese was the one that took out Donna.
Yep.
Instead of Alan.
Yep.
And Alan feels kind of resentment toward Tyrese.
Because Tyrese killed Donna.
But I don't think it's just because of that. I think there was something else. Because I remember, because back when Tyrese and Alan were talking, they said, oh, I'm still mad at you for what you did because you saved her life. And then she was attached to you like a lost puppy. Donna was attached to Tyrese because he saved her. And the reason why they brought this up is because Alan was like, oh, you're going to shame me in front of my son again. Because I guess Tyrese said something that made Alan feel like crap. And so we already knew the relationship. His marriage was on the rocks with his wife. Or at least he thought. Because Tyrese says, no, she still loved you, dude. I mean, she was just scared. We all were scared. But Alan just thought that Tyrese was just, you know, stealing his wife.
Tyrese was stealing Alan's wife.
Yeah, and that's why Alan was kind of feeling resentful because he feels like he was not being a man, you know, and taking care of his family.
And
I'm good at reading that stuff because, you know, that was drama.
That was really good because I had no idea what the hell was going on. So thanks for explaining that.
Because I mean, I like drama. I watch all these teen shows and all there is drama about someone sleeping with someone's wife, miscommunications and all that, you know. I'm good at that stuff. I'm a seasoned professional. I can make my own sitcom.
I know. And
Tyrese and Alan face it off next week.
Tyrese and Sasha. So Tyrese says, you know, we don't want a part of this. We're just going to walk. We're going to leave and fend for ourselves in the forest.
We can take care of our own. We can take care of each other. It's okay. We don't have to be here.
And then Alan says, you're going to take care of my son too or something like that. Like what?
We don't need your help.
And then Alan says, oh, I can take care of Ben.
Just like I did with Donna.
Tyrese said that.
Yeah, Tyrese.
Just like you took care of Donna.
And then I was like,
That was a low blow. And then they just jumping at each other.
And then I don't know why Tyrese, he said something. He had like a cutting word at Alan. But then at the end of the fight, he had Alan down in the pits. Like, it's supposed to be reversed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it didn't seem like Alan had any fighting chance. I mean, he went after
Tyrese. Oh, look at the size of Alan. Look at the size of Tyrese. Come on. Give me a break.
And then he had him at the screamer pits and dangling there. And then Alan's like, do it. Do it. He's like, I don't even care anymore. Drop me. Because he knows he's not going to do it. And then Sasha's up in his face. He's like, what are you doing?
Stop.
And then Martinez is like, okay, I'm glad you got this all out. Now leave because it's
like wasting my time.
Yeah,
here.
That was so productive. The sitcom over here.
And note to future episode watchers, if you're watching season 4, take a note that the screamer pits will show up again in season 4. That's all I'm going to say. That's it. They're going to show up again.
Andrea ends up at Old Factory, but not before,
She runs through the...
A field. And...
That was...
The governor is chasing her in a truck. Like, trying to run her over or something. That was scary.
And the fact that she can't outrun a truck. Okay, whatever.
She can't outrun a truck.
I meant to say the fact that she can outrun a truck is kind of...
Well, she can't because she ran into the forest. And the truck didn't follow. I think the governor could totally easily run her over, but he enjoys chasing her. That's why he didn't run her over. He likes the chase.
Thanks for the clarification.
He's like a predator. Oh, predator prey. Oh,
that's true. He basically enjoyed every minute of it.
And then it's nighttime. She reaches the factory.
No, it's an abandoned warehouse.
Yeah, abandoned factory, old factory. It looked like a factory to me. Okay, it's a warehouse. And so she gets in there trying to, you know, kind of hide away from him, seeing if she can like lose him and move on. But he's following her. He picks up a shovel and he starts dragging it across the ground, but not before saying, hey, Andrea, come out now. Okay, no? And then smashing some windows, breaking the glass so that he can hear her footsteps, like a predator tracking its prey, you know, coming up with all these ideas to try to help
her out. Plus, as we saw in the behind the scenes video, that the governor was basically using the sounds to torture her even more.
Yeah.
Whistling and
banging on fences.
So
like, who whistles? That's psychotic. That's like a unique characteristic for a serial killer. You know what I'm saying?
And a little bit of trivia here is that the whistling was actually a tune that he was singing to Penny mm-hmm. when he was with Penny. So that's the same whistling tune that he was singing.
Another tidbit here, not related to the, not trivia about the show, but trivia about psychopaths. You know he's a psychopath because I was watching this movie called Seven Psychopaths. Really good movie. Suggest you guys go and watch it. And one of the psychopaths...
It was called what?
Seven Psychopaths.
Okay.
Sorry, I talk a lot, like really fast. And there was this serial killer, and he only killed mob members, like of the mafia. And every time he killed someone, he would leave a joker or a queen card or a king card, like on their body.
Mm.
That's his trademark. So I think the trademark for the governor is his whistling. Because he's a psychopath.
Okay, well, that's his thing?
Yeah, it's his thing.
Okay.
Why are you giving me that look?
When he kills... Well, he hasn't killed... when he kills people, he whistles?
Doesn't make sense, I know. But it reminded me of that because he acted like a serial killer. He acted like he enjoyed the game, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Definitely, he enjoyed the game. I agree with that.
I know he doesn't kill people and start whistling all the time. So then he takes his shovel, kills a walker, because there's a couple of walkers in the factory, and he kills a walker with the shovel, but then he repeatedly hits the walker with the shovel.
Yeah, that was a good walker kill.
But more than necessary, which is kind of gross. It was kind of freaked me out a bit.
Well, yeah, he just jammed the shovel down into the ground multiple times.
Yeah. And then, whilst this whole chase is going on, Andrew is hiding behind stuff. The governor gets really close. You think he's going to find her, but then he doesn't because he hears something else and he goes opposite direction. And to the point where Andrea finds this door, says, "This is my way out," opens it, and there's walkers behind it. So she closes it and waits for the governor to find her, makes him think that he's got her cornered, says, "Come on, you can come back." You know she's not going to be able to come back alive. And then says, gives this little smirk, opens the door, and releases the walkers. "Release the Kraken!" And all the walkers come in and converge on the governor, and he has to fight his way out. And she closes the door and looks through the window like, "Yeah, who's the prey now?" That was my favorite scene. But that's my favorite moment, seriously.
The look on her face through the little square
she's
window.
Like, "Hey." That should be our picture for this episode. I swear you should put it that way.
When we first watched this, episode for the first time, I totally fell for it. I thought that the governor died right there.
Me too.
I thought that's it. He's dead. Because there was a whole swarm of walkers, like almost a horde.
She got off scot-free at least.
Yeah, and you know the governor didn't survive. That's what I thought.
Me too. Because she leaves victorious. She knocks a walker down the stairs on her way out. She gets to the prison.
And first of all, why didn't she drive there?
Take the truck?
Yes.
That is a good idea. Why didn't she?
Why did she just walk? Silly. But anyway.
Well, because she ended up at another side of the factory. It was dark.
One excuse could be that the governor had taken the keys or something.
And she didn't want to go look for his body because then they're just wasting time. And he might not be dead yet.
Well, he might not. Yeah. So that was one possibility. But other than that, she should have at least tried.
I know.
It's like, let me check if there's keys in the car. If not, then you know.
I guess she didn't want to waste time and she was just tired already and she just wanted to leave.
Yeah, but she should have driven.
Yeah. And anyway, so she reaches the prison finally. We're like, peaceful music. She's like, na 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 na. She raises her hand to kind of like wave to Rick because Rick is on duty, because that's smart, because you really have Rick on like watch duty after all he's been through, seeing stuff. Really, that's smart. And then the governor comes up from behind her and takes her down just when Rick sees that, and he's like, "Was there something out there?" "Nah," and just disregards it.
Yeah, he probably thought he was like seeing things
again. Yeah, and it was just that.
They were so close.
So close.
He actually saw her move and go down.
Yeah.
But no, nothing happened. Didn't see her. And then we go to a scene where Schumpert goes to check on the walkers, goes to pick them up from the screamer pits.
Mm-hmm. Because they have a truck full of walkers ready to transport. And it turns out somebody burned all the walkers.
I wonder who.
And then he looks in this.
if we do this as a video, it'll be so funny.
Because the expressions we make that go along with these voices are priceless.
So maybe we should tell people about that, about the video that we're planning on doing.
Yeah, for some of you who are listening to season 3.
Season 4, you mean?
No, season 3, because it's season 3 right now.
Oh.
You guys are the first to know that we might be having video podcasts.
Yes, we're thinking of doing the second half of season 4, audio and video.
So we'll upload our videos podcast online.
On YouTube, probably.
On the YouTube. Yes, on the YouTube.
What? More goofy faces. So yeah, so we're going to try that out, see how it goes. Maybe do it live with other people joining
That's
us.
New.
Maybe not. Maybe we.
That's kind of advanced.
Yeah. We'll record it for sure, but I don't know if we're going to do it live. Yeah, so kind of excited about that. And we'll get to see our bunker here.
Yes.
Our bunker with all our
it's kind of remodeled a little bit.
Walking Dead memorabilia on it. So, who do you think burnt the walkers?
I have
Jasmine?
A pretty good idea. I mean, I know already. It's kind of unfair to ask me or you're asking you.
Maybe it was Andrew Lincoln.
What? Plot twist.
Maybe it was Rick Grimes.
But think about what Andrea said. She said, if you're going to stay here, don't just stand by and let it happen and let stuff happen.
Dun, dun, dun. So who did she say that to? Melton.
That is correct. Ding, ding, ding. We have a winner.
Okay, we're going crazy here. So Governor talks to... Governor ends up meeting with Tyrese, Sasha, Alan, and Ben. And the governor's talking to Tyrese, trying to figure out... Well, he goes in there...
And says, oh, we're using the walkers as a kind of intimidation. We're actually not going to use them to kill them. To kill people, so you can be okay. It's okay.
Well, Tyrese says, you're going to feed babies to the walker. That's what, like, whoa, buddy. Like, where'd you conclude that? Where'd you get that conclusion? It's like
jumping the gun here.
He just jumps right for the core. It's like,
yeah, like the darkest thing you can do with the walker.
I hear you're going to feed babies to walkers.
Wait, where did you hear this from? I want to know your source.
No, because when he was fighting Alan, he was like, oh, Rick has, there's kids there. Right?
There's
women and children.
You're going to feed the babies to the walkers?
What?
You psychotic.
Baby killing, walker eating psychopath.
Yeah, the governor with babies in his hand tossing it over to the walker pit. Oh my God.
And the walkers eating. The babies would be like snacks for them.
Oh my God, Dad.
Like little chewy snacks.
Oh my God, fun size.
Yeah, fun size humans. but of course the governor has his story,
and then he believes that Tyrese and Sasha were the ones that burned the walkers because they were so animate about not using them. But then he says, where'd you get the gasoline? And then Tyrese is like, excuse me, what are you talking about?
That was bait to see if they would talk.
Yeah, because if you did do it, they'd be like, oh, I just found it around. Oh, no.
But did you see the look on Alan's face when the governor was telling off Tyrese?
Saying that we're not going to use them to kill
people. Alan was like, see, told you. You thought wrong.
You thought wrong. Who's the idiot now?
The governor's a nice guy. They wouldn't do such an awful thing.
Why would you think that?
This episode's been...
dramatized like a sitcom, like soap opera.
We should
parodies of the episode.
Yeah,
upload them.
So then the governor leaves them because they weren't the ones who burnt the walkers, and goes over to Milton.
And Milton's like, "Oh, it's such a shame what happened to the walkers. I hope you find out who did it." And then he said, "I already have." And then Milton just walks away, like it's all stiff too, like. This is a soap opera, I swear.
Well, because Milton, why would he just go out and blurt it? Like, what if the governor didn't know about the walkers?
No, he knows.
Well, I'm just saying.
They're both in the circle. They both know when stuff happens. The inner circle. Like, of course he's going to hear about it.
The reason why the governor knows is he knows that Milton did it.
Yeah.
Because why would Milton bring it up? The only reason Milton brought it up was like, because internally he felt really good about it.
Yeah, he's never going to find out.
He was just kind of, he was rubbing it in the governor's face. He was like, ah, oh, it's too bad. You know, what happened with the walkers?
Yeah, I'm so sorry. It's like someone trying to sabotage another person's project, a science fair project or something. Like, your volcano, it didn't work. so sorry.
It exploded all over this class.
If you ask me, I think there was too much baking soda. My mom just went shopping for baking soda.
What? Did that actually happen to you? Does this come from personal experience, Jasmine? Were you traumatized by a volcano, a science experiment gone wrong?
Or was I the one that sabotaged someone else's experiment?
Oh, we'll never know.
I did win like second place in the science fair, so.
Was it worth a second place? Was it really worth a second place, Jasmine?
It was so worth it.
And
a little bit about me. I'm a little bit like Milton.
And then after the Milton governor confrontation,
the governor just gives his face like, I can't trust you anymore.
Yeah. The governor was really beat up. Those walkers really did a number on him.
Good.
But not enough to kill him, though.
Unfortunately. Of course not. He's like the king of all walkers.
Yes, he's the master of his walker domain.
He is a walker. Just...
in human form.
Exactly. I mean, walkers are human. I mean, just... okay.
Let's not get into that.
And then the final scene, the closing scene...
is the camera moving around the hallways, dark hallways.
Like a snake. Slither, slither.
Uh-huh.
And
we see
Andrea in the chair, in the very room that she was looking down on. What?
She was looking, down on that room, and then she was tied up. And
maybe
we noticed
that room was made for Andrea in the first place.
I disagree.
Oh, okay, I'm just throwing it out
I
there.
Think it was made for Michonne, but lack of Michonne.
Let's have some testing subjects to test out this equipment exactly. Here.
Did you notice that Andrea had blood on her face?
Yeah.
And our chest. I'm wondering where that came from.
I think it came from the walkers.
It wasn't there before.
I think they just added it on.
Yeah, just for effect.
I think maybe it was already technically supposed to be there, but I don't think he's done anything to her yet.
The blood was just there for dramatic effect.
Yeah, dramatic effect. She looked terrified.
And she wasn't even sitting in the chair properly.
Well, like, her hands are handcuffed to like the bottom, kind of. So you can't, it's kind of uncomfortable. It's not like it's on the
top. It didn't
top.
Look like she was comfortable in that chair.
Why would you be comfortable in that chair? Tell me why.
Well, you know, if you're going to be tortured, you might be tortured in...
comfortably? Really, Dad? Torture is meant to be uncomfortable.
Oh, okay.
I was watching this Vampire Diaries episode where this... just a little tidbit here, where these humans found out about vampires, and they would test on them, do science experiments to see, use their blood because their blood could regenerate mm-hmm. cells and all that and help save people's lives and cure them of cancer and all that crap. They were doing it for a good cause. They were just torturing people, and they would have this area where they would take these vampires, put them in a chair, cut them open alive, mm-hmm. check around, take out their eyeballs and do all this torturous things, and then let them heal and send them back.
Oh, they would heal themselves because they're vampires, right?
But they'd be open and closed constantly.
Hmm. So they were experimenting with them?
Yeah.
And this was on Vampire Diaries?
Yeah. They were like, they would do open heart surgery and stuff. You know what I'm saying? Wow.
They show this on TV?
They didn't show it.
Oh, okay.
But they just implied it with screams and...
Oh,
the first they had a first incision.
All the stuff you're describing is just your imagination going wild?
No, no, no. they described what happened.
Oh.
And then the guy's like, I wonder what would happen if I did this to your eye. And then like he was going in for the eye and then they zoomed out and it's like, ah! You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
You know, it's the CW. Don't show this stuff. Okay.
Just wondering because that sounds pretty gross.
I know.
Like, I don't know if they would show that on TV.
And there'd be blood under the door like, oh my God.
How do you feel about movies that are like torture like that, like for
like
example
Saw?
Yeah, like Saw.
Ugh, I can barely handle gruesome stuff.
Do you like that kind of stuff?
I don't like it.
Not like it, but like
in modesty. But if I was to watch Saw, mm-mm.
In moderation, you said.
In moderation,
not modesty. Well, I don't like it at all. Actually,
I don't.
I get uncomfortable.
I get there really because I feel the pain, especially like if someone gets their arms chopped off, I feel it. If someone gets their like a cut, I feel it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and it's not fun. Like there's
no thrill.
Yeah, there's no drama. Like there's no scare or
jump scares.
Not just jump scares, but
suspense. Yeah,
there's no suspense or anything like that. It's like okay. You caught this person. They're in their room. Let's watch how they scream in pain and they're tortured. Like, okay.
That's kind of like psychotic.
Yeah.
But
like
that
you watching that, enjoy that. It's like you're...
enjoying other people's pain.
Well, it's kind of like bringing out your primal desires. Like, you wish you could do that.
Really?
So it's like, instead of doing
just thinking about it,
instead of doing it, you're actually watching it.
And
so by watching it,
so if you say you enjoy gore movies, that means you enjoy pain and inflicting pain.
You enjoy
others.
Participating in that kind of stuff. Like, you could do it if it was legal, but you can't. So you watch the movie instead. Kind of what I'm thinking, but maybe I'm wrong.
That's a deeper level psychology. I'm sure a lot of people are like, no. But remember that movie we watched where it was like,
and maybe that's why I don't like watching it, because I don't want to feel like I like it. Like, I don't want to admit that I like it. You know,
I don't want to become numb to it.
Yeah.
Do you remember that movie we watched? I think Cabin in the Woods, where
that was disgusting.
The devil rose up from the ground or something.
Well, the last scene was really disgusting.
Yeah. Oh my God.
With the chainsaw.
Oh my goodness. That was a good movie though. Remember that part where
it was pretty good.
The girl was underneath the underground in the basement, and the girl came down and she took her knife and she just cut her own tongue in half.
Ew.
That was the grossest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Even describing that is like,
that's anything to do with the mouth is sensitive. Okay, so when she did that,
even describing like someone cutting their tongue in half with a knife,
and that part where she was in the bathroom and she started like stabbing, cutting out her jaw. Remember? She
I'm thinking about it again.
And she turned around. She's like,
in psychotic pleasure.
And then remember that part, the last scene where the car fell on top of her arm and she ripped her arm off like it was nobody's business?
Well,
underneath the car? That was kind of impossible.
Yeah, and then the final scene was with the chainsaw, and she shoves the chainsaw in her mouth.
Yeah.
I hope we're not spoiling this movie, because there's not much to spoil. It's basically a bunch of people
dying
in weird ways.
I remember that guy that just would not die. Like, he got staple gun to the face, he got his like battered to death with a hammer, remember?
Yeah.
And then he got shot a couple of times, drowned, but then came back alive.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? To the very end.
This sounds like a really cool movie. Which we actually watched. So yeah, if you like that kind of thing, go out and watch it, rent it. It's called Cabin in the Woods. And when we went to the
Universal Studios.
Yeah, we went to the Universal Studios for the Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah.
They had a whole setup for Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah, they had a haunted house
set up with all the scenes from Cabin in the Woods, but we hadn't seen the movie at the time, so we had no idea what was going on.
And so this was fresh to us and scared the crap out of us.
So when we went into that thing, we'd see scenes which
from the movie.
Yeah, now that I think back on it, after watching the movie, I'm like, oh, I wish I had watched it, because I would enjoy the scenes more, right?
Yeah.
In the haunted house.
Like, there was a part where the woman was like fighting this thing that was on top of her, and then the demon would turn her head and just spray stuff at us.
Yeah.
That happened in the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. And the scene with the chainsaw and the mouth, they showed
at the end.
They showed that one.
Literally, till the very end, there was horror. Like, you stumble out of the place like, oh my God! You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was pretty disgusting, but wonderful at the same time.
Oh, see, Dad? You're just like them.
I don't know why. It's because it's not normal. It's not stuff you do on a daily basis, right? It's
like, I hope not.
You don't go around, like, killing people and stuff, so...
I keep talking about this movie, but American Psycho is seriously one of the best movies, psychotic movies I've ever seen.
Oh, American Psycho is even better? Well,
it's better on a like a
psychotic level.
Yeah, a more mental level. And then I saw someone said to me, American Psycho is so much more entertaining when you know a little history about it. Christian Bale got into character by studying Tom Cruise. Now go and watch that movie again with the thought that Christian Bale was using Tom Cruise as his example
of a psycho.
Yeah. And I was thinking about it like, that is hilarious.
What does that say about Tom Cruise though? Yeah. Tom Cruise a psycho? American Psycho.
Oh, it's man. Good times.
You know, I've don't even remember American Psycho. It's been so long since I've seen it. I should watch it again.
I watched it when we went skiing.
When?
In my room, like after we came back from skiing.
It was on TV?
No, I had it on my phone.
You had American Psycho on your phone?
No, I had Crackle, which had the movie American Psycho on it. I'm like, oh, I didn't know they had this, so I just watched it.
Okay, I didn't know.
You came into my room, you're like, what are you doing? I'm like, watching a movie.
Okay. I didn't realize you're watching American Psycho.
Well, we've come to the end of our show. thank you all for listening to this episode. If you like what you hear, please share this with your friends. We appreciate any feedback you might have. You can send email feedback to talkback@thewalkingdeadgirl.com. And as always, this is Jasmine.
And this is Michael.
Stay alive.